Well, this is the last message in the Free Indeed series. It's been over 18 weeks ago since we started this. We never could have, in our wildest imaginations, thought we'd experience what we've been through at least the last 12 weeks. It's been amazing. During this series, we have learned a lot about the danger of believing the lies of the enemy. We have learned the importance of walking in the truth and believing the truth of God's word. We've learned about agreements that we can make with the enemy, sometimes just unconsciously. And these agreements lead us from a place where we're walking in the light into a place of darkness. And many of us do not even realize the agreements that we have made with darkness. During this series, we've attempted to expose those lies, to bring them out into the light and the truth of God's word. Once we are able to do that, we know that there is freedom on our path and on our journey. This series was called Free Indeed, and I hope that at least some, if not many, have found freedom in some of the things that you've learned. Some of the things that we've grown up with, just ways of thinking that has been contrary to the Word of God. And so I hope that in many ways that it's been a blessing as we have learned to replace those lies of the enemy with the truth of the Lord's Word. One of the benefits of replacing lies with God's truth can be physical wholeness. Researchers have demonstrated that 80% of all diseases are psychosomatic, means that they originate in our mind, usually originate from stress, fear, anxiety, and other mental conflicts. Art Mathias has a ministry up in, I believe it's Colorado or Washington. They minister to people through God's word. And once they get their thinking corrected, exposing the lies of the enemy and replace it with God's word, they have found healing. So many documented cases of healing, especially these things that have been psychosomatic. So this is what I have been attempting to show us over these last 18 weeks. It matters what we think, and it matters with whom we agree. Are we agreeing with darkness or light? Or are we agreeing with God or the devil? It's one of those two, always. Today we're going to end this series with the topic of occultism. All of us in here have touch points, and I'm going to explain what those are in a minute, with occultism. There is a spirit of occult referred to in the Bible by many different names. Some such as witchcraft, sorcery, pharmakia, divination, and others. It's a very powerful principality that has enslaved millions and has led even multi-millions of people into the darkness, only to never come out. Our contact with the occult, we call touch points. These touch points are found everywhere in our society and even our own lives. From the programs we watch, to the music we listen to the celebrities we admire, to the video games we play, to the jewelry we wear, and even the clothes that we wear can be touch points to the occult. And I'm going to show you how in just a little bit. First, let's define what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the occult. Literally, it means hidden from view. This word is often used in astronomy. Mike, do we have that picture? The occult, it's called the occult in astronomy. When one object moves in front of another object and you can't see the object behind it, it is hidden. In this picture right here, it's kind of a picture of the moon moving in front. I believe that might be Mars back there. It could be the sun. We know this to be an eclipse. But the specific term they use is occult phase. When the moon moves directly in front of us and we can't see the sun, it's in occult phase. You can hold your hand up to the sun right now and block it out. Your hand would be in the occult position. So are we clear on that term? It's hiding something behind it. In its biblical definition, the occult can be any belief and or practice that opposes the law of God. At its core meaning, to practice the occult means to practice or have interaction with something or some activity that is in direct opposition to God's revealed word. In Leviticus, God warns his people to have nothing to do with spiritists or occultists. And this is generally believed to also include all forms of those who practice the occult practice or even practice the occult. I know we can reverse those words. Let's look at Leviticus 19:31. We'll have it on the screen. We're going to move kind of quick through these verses just for the sake of time today. In 19:31 it says, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Isaiah 8:19 reads, "And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living?" It's a little bit of humor found in here. It's like, why are you going to ask these people? Why are you going to ask the dead people? It didn't work for them. You should go and ask the one true and living God. To practice or have interaction with something or some activity that is in direct opposition to God's revealed word is rebellion. And it is considered occultic. Rebellion is as witchcraft, the Bible tells us. There's actually a verse which speaks of that. Those who engage in such things as witchcraft, horoscopes, New Age practices are in direct rebellion and direct opposition to God's revealed word. They are seeking a higher knowledge known only by the spirits, a knowledge that will somehow bring them joy, fame, prestige, possibly money. It's knowledge beyond the general human realm of knowledge of our way of acquiring it. They believe that the spirits behind the scenes have a higher elevated knowledge than we do. So they seek to gain that knowledge. And the reason they seek to gain that knowledge is they believe that knowledge is power. Have you ever heard that term before? It comes from it has pagan roots in it. But at the core of their quest for this secret knowledge is to be like God. They want to know what God knows. And God says that, excuse me, my wife always says, she goes, "Why don't you just clear your throat?" I'm like, "I don't know, I get dry up here. I'm taking it out, like stuff for allergies, so excuse me." She's like, "I know, I can hear it. Thank you." Rod Stewart's got nothing on me. All right, is that a little better? Let me talk from my diaphragm. So God says that He alone is God. In Exodus 20, verse 5, listen to this now. And you can read it. I believe we have it on the screen. Exodus 20, verse 5. "You shall not bow down to them," meaning the gods of the lands of Canaan where the Israelites were going to, "or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." This is interesting. There's a couple things to note here. There is, for occultic involvement in our generations, it opens doors to spirits that can move through our generations. And the second thing is, these are called generational sins. We've heard that term before. It's very real. I assure you. I think of the Kennedys. Just boom, 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 one after another. Their great, great, great grandfather was a bootlegger. And I've heard stories about some associations with witchcraft and stuff like that. So I'm just saying. But notice here, more importantly, that those who practice such things, God says that they hate me. They hate me. It's rebellion. It's not just the act itself, engaging in an act. God says, they hate me. And there is the real problem. So when we seek out hidden information with things like horoscopes and tarot cards, Ouija boards going to fortune tellers, we are attempting to gain a secret and a higher knowledge that we feel God has kept from us? Where have we heard that before? You guessed it, the garden. Like many of these series, everything's found in the first few chapters of the book of the Bible. But I'm just going to summarize instead of us turning back there. We probably have it memorized by now. Satan deceived Eve with the idea that God was holding out on her and holding out on Adam. Satan convinced them that God had secret knowledge. And if they just had that knowledge, they would become like him. It's so enticing to be in the know, to have that knowledge. And that's what the tempter tempted Adam and Eve with. If they wanted to rule like God, all they needed to do was eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. Does anyone know what the name of that tree is? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God's just holding out on you. You need to know what he knows, and then you will be like him. Satan attempted to be like God. He wanted the worship for himself before he was thrown out of heaven. It led to pride. So they fell, they bit on the bait, literally. Their thirst for secret knowledge cost them everything. What are some of the ways that we make agreements with the occult? I mean, really, that's why we're here. We want to know where is there sin in my life? Well, it's not only the most obvious things like witchcraft, tarot cards and horoscopes in which we can participate with the occult and Satan. Sometimes the very seemingly innocent things that we engage with in life can have occultic associations. Grasp this. These things touch Satan. We touch them. Satan touches us. They touch Satan. We touch them. Satan touches us. When we mess with or interact with these things, we can open doors to demonic spirits unknowingly. Let's start with some of the small things. You'll find a little humor in these. Most of us are guilty of our participation with these things. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, give no place to the devil, not even a crack in the door. The word place means a place of residence, an opportunity. Give no place. Don't even crack the window to let some air in, spiritually speaking, to the devil. Because he'll come in, and once he comes in, he's like a relative that never leaves. You know, please. And there's something else you could be doing? No, I'm quite at home, feeding off out of your refrigerator and having you finance all the things I'm doing. The devil is like that. The word place, so as I just talked about the word place, when we wish words of luck to ourselves or others, we are using vocabulary of darkness. I'm guilty. Christians don't submit to luck, do we? Anyone in here submit to luck? Not Buck. Lots of people submit to Buck, but we don't submit. We don't submit to luck. We submit to the Lord and his will, don't we? As the Lord wills, or maybe God bless. May God bless you. May his will be done. Those are the words we should be using. When you say somebody is, when they're going on a journey, as Christians, we should be mindful of not saying, hey, good luck. We should be using words from the kingdom of light. Hey, God bless you. May God's grace be on you. Grace be with you. Paul opens up his letters. He doesn't say, hey, good luck, guys. May luck be with you. He says, may grace be with you. May grace be with you. That is the vocabulary of the king's children. The use of words involving luck, they're occultic and have ancient pagan associations. They're touch points. Some of the other things we blurt out that have occultic associations are things like Murphy's Laws, euphemisms. Who's heard of these? Now again, I'm as guilty as the next person involved with this thinking and speaking. Murphy's Law is an adage that is typically stated, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. Who has developed a mindset like that? I think I have. There is no good deed that goes unpunished. How many times have I said that and professed that? That's not my Lord. But more than that, it's a proclamation of divinity. Look, let's just be straight this morning. God is divine. We are not. Okay? God is divine. If we could remember that throughout the course of most of our days, we'll be better for it. Now, I've agreed with this proclamation of divination so many times. For instance, when I drop something to the ground, I've noticed that it will roll to the exact center of a place that I cannot reach easily by merely kneeling down and picking it up. I need to lay on my stomach and reach for all I've got to get it out. Now, when things fall down, I don't even look at my feet like, oh, I dropped it here. I'll look for a place furthest away from me, and I'll know that that object is going to be in the direct center beneath that thing. And I won't be able to get it unless I either get a tool to get it or I lay on my stomach. You see, I've made the proclamation so many times, and I've seen it, that this thing, that it rolls over there, that now I just say, I know if I drop this, it's gonna roll over there. It's an expression of divination, prognostication, if you will. I can predict the future. Let's think of some of the other things we say. How many of us have confessed things as if we just know they're going to happen? We just know it. We're playing God in our circumstances. As soon as I wash my car, it's going to rain. I think I said that last week. Sure enough. How about the phone always rings when I'm in the shower? I might as well just get a phone installed by the shower. Or other places in the bathroom where the phone rings at inopportune times. We might as well not even take our first bite of dinner. Because as soon as we do, Aunt Thelma is going to text us wanting some bit of information or even call. How about the doorbell or phone will always ring as we utter our first words of prayer. We're about to pray and we speak a proclamation of divination. You just watch. Phone's going to ring as soon as we start praying. And many times it does, doesn't it? It's not, I don't think that's even a coincidence. But the devil wants us to think, wants us to speak words as if we're divine. So I believe that the devil will actually make those things happen. To encourage us to begin speaking these things over and over again. It's vocabulary of darkness. I got a friend of mine that would perpetually call right in the middle of prayer or something else. I am convinced, and I've noticed this over time. Yes, I'll make the statement. I bet so-and-so calls right now. But I'll know that his life is not going well because the devil is using him to call right now. So I begin praying for him after he calls. Happens all the time. I could show you our phone bill with his number from it. So other ways we practice the occult or join in with it are perhaps not so funny. Let me just list a few. They can be open doors to demonic intrusion. And I believe we have some pictures of them as I name these. Dream catchers. Crystal rocks. Not crystal meth. Crystal rocks. Of course, if you have crystal meth laying around, you might want to get rid of it as well. Ouija boards. I don't think we have a picture of Ouija boards. Let me tell you a quick story before moving on to some of these other things. My brother, when he was younger, we shared a room. He began messing with a Ouija board, unbeknownst to the family. He had a friend that was into some really bad music, and of course, one thing led to another, and Chris began playing with a Ouija board. One night, as he was playing with his friend, they contacted a spirit, and its name was Legion. We find the name Legion in the Bible, don't we? They didn't know that. And they asked the Spirit, "Who are you here for?" And the Spirit indicated he was there for my brother. The other kid wasn't a believer. My brother was, and he knew better. Shortly after that, Chris began having seizures at night, directly timed with his involvement with a Ouija board. I don't think he has them to this day, but I believe he opened a door to a demonic spirit. He didn't have seizures before that. It was timed directly with his involvement in that. He is doing well today, but regarding the seizures, I'm not sure. Other things we may have: jewelry, amulets, and charms. If Mike, do we have the next? See these things? If you see the eyes in the middle, that's the all-seeing eye of Iris. They're on our dollar bills, by the way. It's a cultic sign. The pyramids is it's a sign of the Illuminati. It's a cult that's supposed to rise in these last days. You'll see a lot of our celebrities wearing those. Beyonce. You'll see them making the sign. They'll go like that. People making that. This is a sign for the Illuminati. It's occultic. It's jewelry, and there are other types of amulets like that. All of these are associated with the occult, including the fleur-de-lis. It's an ancient pagan artifact, was used in pagan worship. We see that everywhere. You can go to a clothes store. Fleur-de-lis are everywhere. It actually has pagan roots. We don't realize it. It's the three-leaf, it's that thing on the top up there. The fleur-de-lis. Yeah, many people don't even know that it's occultic in its origins. Not saying that's a bad thing. I love that. It's not going anywhere, all right? We don't buy into the stuff. But I'm telling you that it has ancient pagan roots. You've seen that before? That at the very, very top, that little three-leaf thing, like the New Orleans Saints has it on their football helmets. Don't start going throwing out all your fleur-de-lis stuff, all right? I'm just pointing out some things that have come into our culture and our society that are touch points. Is it possible that we are inviting demonic intrusion into our lives when we have these things casually laying around our homes, our cars, our clothes, our artwork? Maybe. I'll tell you, Satanists and witches that have come out of Satanism and witchcraft, they testify to the fact that they used to use these things in their rituals because they knew that demonic spirits were associated with them, attached to them. And they know, and they've come out and go, "Oh yeah, these things that you think are harmless are actually not harmless." Are they open doors? I don't know. I think we need to be mindful that they could be. So I'm not here today to tell you to throw all these things out. But you need to be aware that they are items that are used in pagan worship practices. And they may be open doors for demonic involvement in our life. My dad brought some things back from India one time that were used in worship over there. They're beautiful ceramic elephants. The day he brought those into our house, I began seeing things in my bedroom, things floating over my bed, faces and spirits in the room standing at the foot of my bed, coming after us. I was a believer. You know, spirits are associated with these things of worship. It's very real. So some of the other ways in which we participate with the occult, these touch points, can be through the superstitions we practice. For instance, knock on wood. It's a pagan practice where they used to believe that spirits would inhabit the trees. And they would hire these witch doctors to walk through the trees and to knock on them, believing that it would scare the spirits away. It used to be associated with rituals that they would do. Some of the others are, as we all know, black cats, walking under ladders. I still won't walk under a ladder even though I know better. Now, I'm not afraid it's going to fall on me. I kind of am. Throwing salt over your back shoulder. The only thing that's going to affect is the person walking behind you. But we still do it, don't we? Sometimes. To ward off bad luck. Certain color of clothes believed to bring good luck. Played baseball for years. Nobody's more superstitious than baseball players. If they have a good game or a good series of games, it's likely they won't change their underwear till they strike out. They'll wear the same clothes, not even shower. They'll start growing beards. They say, I'm not going to change a thing as long as I'm in this winning streak. Horrible. I remember stepping over people's spit in the dugout, not because it was just gross, but because it would jinx me. All right? I mean, look, I'm telling you. We have all these things. Yeah, step on the crack in the sidewalk. Still other ways we participate are through some of the movies we watch, like Harry Potter, which uses literal sorcery and witchcraft incantations in their scripts. The author of Harry Potter is a confessed witch. These are intentional. And as we allow those spells to be uttered through our speakers, they come right into our homes, our ears. Are they opening doors? Possibly. We need to be mindful of what we allow to come into our homes. In watching demonic horror or certain types of magical movies, we can yield our emotions and mind to the messages of darkness. Messages that contradict the word of God directly. Many times we sit staring and listening to these movies, blindly letting the subliminal messages and agendas that are woven in the minds of demonic spirits just come right on in to our homes. We allow our wives to listen to them. We're the head of our homes. We need to be the guards at the fence, at the gates, watching to allow nothing like this to come into our homes, to taint our wives and our children. We need to be vigilant. As Christians, when we give over to these things and participate with them, we are making agreements with the devil that they don't affect us in any way. Well, it's not going to affect me. I'm a mature believer. I stand in the Word of God. I know the difference between darkness and light. So I'm going to sit, and it's okay for me to go to these movies to see these things. I had a professor in seminary say that to me one day. I was like, man, I can't believe I have to be graded by something you're giving me because you don't have much sense. The Word of God says something differently. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 5 through 13. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 through 13. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. Impurity. As is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, like the empty words that come through our speakers, come through the things we listen to and watch, maybe even people we know. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now look carefully in verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We've just named a lot of those deeds and ways that we can participate with darkness. But instead, even expose them. That's what we're doing today. And we are exposing them in the light of God's word. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Y'all, it's so important that in these touch points of the occult, that we are aware of the open doors that may be opening in our lives to demonic intrusion. Well, as we conclude here today, why is it important to adhere to the admonition just given here in Ephesians and elsewhere in the Bible regarding the occult? Well, first of all, God alone wants our affections. He wants all of our affections. He wants us to seek holiness and worship Him alone. But when there has been something set in front of us that has come between God and us, it becomes an act of rebellion. It's a form of the occult. And God hates that. God calls us haters of Him when we begin to worship something else that is in front of Him. But secondly, when we make agreements with the devil and participate with him, we are being ruled by him. Jesus allowed his body to be whipped and bruised and torn open, the crown of thorns to be pressed down on his head and his hands and feet pierced to a wooden cross, so that we would no longer be ruled by darkness or even make agreements with the lies. He came to set us free. When we make these agreements with darkness and allow these things to go on, we're simply saying, Lord, hey, thanks for all those things you did for me. But I tell you what, I'm just going to agree with darkness right here, if you don't mind. I realize that darkness has never done anything for me. I realize that it has never done anything but create destruction and death in my life. And it certainly didn't give its life for me. But all the same, I kind of like it over here. It makes me feel good. It's been around a long time in my families, and I'm okay with it. It won't really hurt me. These agreements that we make through our participation with the occultic things I just named can become open doors to the demonic in our lives and especially our souls. When they are entering, now just know this, I'm not talking about losing salvation. Nor am I talking about a spirit possessing us. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit. That is who owns us. We cannot be possessed as Christians, nor will we lose our salvation. If any of these things, if you like, oops, I've been kind of participating with that. It's not a salvation issue. But what it is an issue that robs us of the very best that God has for us. The very best that He has for us. Now, let me just say this too. We can go overboard in our removal of these things from our homes and just start, it kind of looks like the flower a little bit. I'm just going to throw it out. And then we go and we start telling our aunts and our uncles, and you've got to throw stuff out. And next thing you know, they all think we're crazy. What I am asking you to do is ask the Holy Spirit. Begin to look around your home. In your cars, any of these things, if I've mentioned, there's more. Ask the Holy Spirit if you need to get rid of these. If He'll tell you. And if He says yes, act decisively. But seek His counsel on what you need to be getting rid of. And then lastly, if you have found yourself nodding yes to involvement in some of these things I've mentioned, like witchcraft, astrology, horoscopes, you need to repent. You need to repent. It's been an affront to God. Whether it's somebody that we've worshiped other than God. We've gained so much knowledge that there's this being that we worship you. And God second, it's sin. It has pagan roots. If you've been involved in secret societies or something like that, there needs to be repentance. The good news is that God stands ready to forgive all those who ask for His forgiveness. He stands ready to cleanse us of all our environments. And if it's been some of your ancestors that have participated in some of these things, hey, and you're paying the bill for their debt, God can heal bloodlines. He can bring restoration in the bloodlines, and we can break it and snap it off right there. Finally, if maybe at some point in your life earlier you were involved with witchcraft or sorcery, pharmakia in some ways, God wants to cleanse those past roots. It's likely when you were saved, you were given a new identity and in Christ, you're going to go to heaven. But maybe there's some of these things in the past that you have not brought to God. And say, God, I need forgiveness and repentance in these areas. There may still be open doors that are there that's allowing the enemy to come into your life and create havoc. I want God's favor and I want His wholeness to rest upon all of us. I want us to walk in victory, to expose the lies with the truth of God's word. And if we seek Him and draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. His word says that. We need to do it. We need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Let's pray.